All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Lance Zierlein hinted at his mock draft yesterday that it was going to fire up the city. As soon as he said that, I knew what direction he was going in. But it has been unveiled by NFL.com. Lance Zierlein 3.0 is out. And Lance makes it very clear that he's drafting based on what he thinks the teams will do. And he also has he has trades here. So that's something to keep in mind as well. He has Carolina going with Bryce Young at number one. So the whole C.J. Stroud thing, smokescreen, they select what many people think is the best quarterback in this draft. Bryce Young goes number one to Carolina in Lance Zierlein 3.0. The Houston Texans with a bit of a curveball at number two. They go, look, and you know what my dream scenario is? I would love to go defensive end and then quarterback, trade down, defensive end, quarterback, some way. I would take Will Anderson at number two. Lance Zierlein has the Houston Texans at number two, selecting defensive end Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech. That's the reaction of everybody who looked at Lance Zierlein's mock draft. I personally love the idea of Will Anderson going number two, to be completely honest with you. If Bryce goes number one to Carolina, I'm totally okay taking Will Anderson at number two. So I love the philosophy here. Don't know if I love Tyree Wilson ahead of Will Anderson. But Lance says if the Texans miss out on Young, they might not be a lock to take Stroud with needs along the defensive front and two 2023 first-round picks. The choice could be between Wilson and Will Anderson. So some thought here that the Texans could go defensive end if their quarterback is off the board, their quarterback being Bryce Young. He was taken number one by Carolina. The Texans go defense with Tyree Wilson at number two. I'm okay going defensive end at number two. I'm not okay going Tyree Wilson at number two
right.
or Will Anderson.
Absolutely agree with that. I mean, if you're not going to go quarterback, in my opinion, it has to be Will Anderson.
Like a lot of people call Will Anderson the best player available. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think Will Anderson and Jalen Carter are the – in fact, that's – it's
not
unanimous.
Carter had the off-the-field stuff too, that discussion changed and it was just Will Anderson.
Now, they still have him high on the big boards because that just evaluates talent. But, yes, his stock is going to plummet to some extent because of all the red flags and off-the-field issues. But many people think that the best two pro prospects in this draft are Will Anderson and Jalen Carter. Mm-hmm. So I love the idea of going BPA. I'm a best player available kind of guy, even if it means it's a defensive end over a quarterback. So the Texans take Will Anderson at number two because they don't love C.J. Stroud. Cool. I'm all right with that. I won't be mad whenever I talk about what the Houston Texans are doing in the draft. But Tyree Wilson's only the first curveball for the Houston Texans in this draft. Will Anderson's off the board at number three to Arizona. He projects a trade with the Ravens and the Colts, where the Colts ultimately get Lamar Jackson and the Ravens get the fourth pick, and the Ravens select C.J. Stroud, the quarterback from Ohio State. He has Jalen Carter doesn't slip very far in Lance's mock. He goes number five to Seattle, and then Detroit takes Devin Witherspoon, the corner from Illinois. At pick number seven, the Las Vegas Raiders are on the clock, and the Houston Texans come calling. And the Houston Texans trade back into the top 10. They trade their 12th pick plus future draft capital for the number 7th pick of the NFL draft. Mm. And the Houston Texans select Will Levis, the quarterback out of Kentucky. Lance is getting a lot of hate for this. He's getting a lot of grief for this. I sent Lance a tweet earlier today. I said, Lance, don't be so hard on yourself. I personally love this mock draft. I do love this. I would go Will Anderson at number two and not Tyree Wilson. But if the Texans were to leave this draft, Will Anderson and Will Levis, I would be over the moon.
I'm just curious what the other draft capital would be that you'd have to give up.
He says an additional capital in 2024, so he doesn't draw specifics. What do you think it would be to move up five spots in the first round? Is it the Browns first?
It's the Browns pick, in my opinion.
That's a lot to move up five spots.
It is, but I believe that's what it is, in my opinion.
I think it gets it done.
I don't think it is a lot if you believe that trade is getting you a franchise quarterback, mm-hmm. then he's worth that first.
See, now, and the way Lance described it this morning, he said, I don't love it personally. I don't think it's the way they should go. But he said it makes a lot of sense for the Bobby Slowick offense and the style of quarterback that they like to execute it the way they want to do things, that it would be the right fit for the system and the coaching staff.
Yeah. Now,
and you've said that.
I have. You should have been listening to the Killer Bees for the last 3 months because we've been talking about this very thing. Will Levis last year played for a terrible offensive coordinator, the Scagnarelli guy, who actually came from San Francisco. He came from San Francisco, was like a position coach there, I want to say a quarterback coach, and he took over for Liam Cohen. Will Levis under Liam Cohen in 2021 at Kentucky looked amazing. I think if Will Levis came out in 2021, we wouldn't be having these conversations of, is Will Levis raw? Does Will Levis need a developmental year? All of this stuff. And then in 2022, he took a step backwards. Let's call it what it is. Like, I'm not going to be a homer about Will Levis. He was not as good in 2022 as he was in 2021, and he didn't have as productive a year in 22 as the other quarterbacks, well, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. He was more productive than Anthony Richardson, but he wasn't as productive as Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. So you're looking at projectability. What does he look like at the next level? The Texans, scouts, GMs, executives, they've seen what Will Levis looked like in 2021 when he was playing in the Liam Cohen offense. Liam Cohen was the offensive coordinator for the Rams this past year. He was the OC at Kentucky 2 years ago. Very West Coast, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay type of offense. So Levis has played in that style of offense. Levis is also a big quarterback. Like, he's also a quarterback that has NFL size, whereas Bryce Young, and it doesn't matter because Bryce Young's gone at number one. Texans never had a chance to take Bryce Young in Lance Zierlein's mock. So I'm a fan of this. A lot of people look at Levis and they already rule out that Levis can be a good quarterback. I really don't understand that because we haven't seen C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson play a single snap in the NFL, yet you have people knowing how good these guys are going to be in the NFL. It amazes me. You look at the history of drafting quarterback at number two, it is not very good. Nope. And if you just look at the top quarterbacks in the NFL currently, in the NFL in the past, and see where they were selected in the NFL draft, a lot of times it's random. So why not go BPA at number two and then trade back into the top 10 to take whatever quarterback's there? Maybe it's Levis. Maybe Anthony Richardson is somebody that the Texans love. So you take BPA at two. You use future draft capital that you got from the Deshaun Watson trade anyways to trade back into the top 10 to select what you think is going to be a franchise quarterback. I like this Lance Zierlein mock.
I knew you would. My big thing is, again, like I've always said, is the powers that be, starting with Nick Caserio, and then as it trickles down to the coaching staff and starts with D'Amico, they just have to have a gut feeling of a guy that they like. And they got to stick to it. And they got to go get him no matter what it takes to make sure they get their guy. Now, that might be difficult because the Carolina trading up might take that guy, and then you're just basically SOL. But I also said they've got to come away from this draft with a quarterback. Now, you hope it's whoever you come away with is going to be your quarterback of the future, but the team's still not that good so that there is a chance you'll be in the same position next year with a chance to get another one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be redundant. Yeah, that's not the smartest way to go about this, but the Cardinals did it. It worked out to some degree with Kyler Murray, and so we go. But I look at this and say they've got to come away with a quarterback, and I really would love them to come away with the quarterback that they feel in their gut is the best guy for them. If this is Will Levis, and that's what Lance said this morning, and I have no reason to doubt Lance and all of his sources and all the work and research that he puts into this, then great. Because I'm not going to be biased and say, because I don't know if I don't know enough about the guy that I'm going to say I don't like him. I just, you obviously hear that the top tier is just two guys. But if Will Levis can come back, you know, take the step to the next level where the offense and the coaching staff and everything that he's running is a system that's more conducive to him being successful and he can continue to grow with it, so be it. That's what the team needs. The team doesn't need the most hyped up, highly ranked of all these quarterbacks. You need the quarterback that's going to be the best for you.
Yeah, and look, I listened to a little bit of the bench this morning. I was taking the oldest son to school, and they talked about this. And Lance was very clear. He's like, I don't like Levis as a draft prospect. I think Will Levis is a second round grade quarterback. He says he's putting himself in the shoes of these general managers and doing what the GMs would think. And he could totally see the Houston Texans going best player available at number two and then selecting or then trading back up for the quarterback. He even mentioned earlier today it could be Levis, could be Anthony Richardson, but he could see the Texans having that philosophy. I've said that philosophy for a long time. I like that philosophy, especially when you don't have a slam dunk quarterback. Because, look, I love Bryce Young. Bryce Young's not a guarantee in the NFL, quite frankly, because of his size. And people say, well, if he was 6'3", he'd be a you know, surefire number one. Cool. He's not. He's 5'10". Do I think he has a chance to be really good in the NFL? Yes. Does it come with a lot of risk? Yes, it comes with a lot of risk. So if you're Caserio, why not go with who you have number one on your board?
That's what I'm saying.
And then take a risky quarterback later in the first round.
Like, the biggest thing to me is have confidence in and knowing who you want and go get him. But when you know, when we're talking about this, all these quarterbacks have question marks. It's not like anybody's a slam dunk. You know, and that's not normally the case. When you have a guy like Trevor Lawrence coming out, he was head and shoulders the number one quarterback and the number one player in the draft. And no matter what people could nitpick what might be a shortcoming, no one was going to waver over the fact that he was clearly the guy that was going to end up being the guy on the next level. Here, all these guys have question marks, have things that people are picking apart. Some are more fixable than others to some degree. Obviously, the things with Bryce Young are not fixable because they, for the most part, he's not going to wear lifts and become 6'2 overnight. And, it's up for debate as to how much weight he can actually put on and how good that would be for him. But for the other guys, it's going to be about, can you improve your accuracy? Can you improve your ability to do the things that you need to do improvisationally, but also intelligently in the quarterback position and the intangibles? And so it's rare that you have, unlike the year before where you had three guys that were going to be the best quarterbacks in the draft, none of them were worthy of being high first-round picks. This year, you've got 3 to 4 guys that are all rumored to be in the top 10 to 12 of the draft, but each one of them have substantial question marks that you could point at and go, that's a reason why I'd be apprehensive taking that guy, but there's no clear cut. So that's why I said you got to be able to decipher, skip all the mock drafts, skip all the other experts' opinions, and believe in your organization, in all the people that you trust, that you have pinpointed the guy that you really want and have to have. If he's there, great. If he's not, then you've got to adjust on the fly and take the best players available.
Why do you hate Will Levis? 713-780-ESPN. Because I see a lot of Will Levis hate. I just want to know why. Why do you hate Levis? 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. Also, this Peter King Monday morning, I guess not the Monday morning quarterback anymore. It's just his take of what he used to do. But he talked about this possibility. He talked about the possibility of the Houston Texans not going quarterback at number 2. Is it a philosophy that you could live with? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Dr. O and his staff do a fantastic job of making sure they take care of their clients because they care about them and they want to know what's been basically holding you back. Is it the lack of energy on a daily basis for both men and women? They have answers. They have solutions. It starts with all the different ways you can get a B12 shot weekly and get more energy, to all the different ways that they can administer or you can administer hormone therapy and get more energy on a daily basis to get that to-do list done and all the things that you want to do while you're trying to have fun from day in to day out. That's what they do for you. They identify with you where the problem lies and where you are falling short, and they find a way to get you on a program that gets you where you want to go and the results that you are truly after. It's fantastic. You mentioned my name, Joel Blank, get a free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit. But the main way to see all the services they offer and see if something's right for you is go to ApolloMH.com. Check out all the services. If a few make sense and for you and they look like things that you could actually do and you want to get more information on, make an appointment. Go in there and find out. Most major insurances accepted discounts for military and first responders. But then go in there, be open, be honest, tell them what you're trying to achieve, where you're lacking, and they'll put you on a program that works. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, if you have problems, they have answers and solutions. They're good people doing great things on a daily basis. Check them out. It's good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Lance Erline is getting crushed for Lance Erline Mock Draft 3.0. He selects Tyree Wilson at number 2. BPA, according to not according to Lance, but what he thinks would be BPA for the Houston Texans line of thinking. And then trading up to number 7 with the Raiders, using the 12th pick, future draft capital, to then select Will Levis. People hate hearing about Will Levis. I know that firsthand. They hate the idea of Will Levis being the quarterback for the Houston Texans, and I just want to know why. Why do we hate Will Levis in Houston? Why do we hate Will Levis? What is it about Will Levis that you do not like? Do you have anything that you don't like about Will Levis, Blankers?
No, I mean, look, in terms of the measurables, he's a big kid. He's got a big arm. He's got a lot of things that should, entice a lot of people to think, hey, why not Will Levis? I don't know if it's the fat coffee. I don't know if it's the fact that he didn't play at a big-time powerhouse school that rubs people the wrong way, or the fact that everybody reads every mock draft and believes the tiers that, the so-called experts put out there, to where if he's not, predicted to be on the top tier, then people have an issue with that too. But I don't have anything per se that I'm going to say aggravates me about Will Levis or that I don't like about Will Levis. I don't really know it as much as I haven't watched the tape you have. I just want them to get a guy that they believe in can be a guy that can lead this team and perform on the next level. If they believe that, there's nothing for me to hate about Will Levis.
713-780-ESPN. Why do we hate Will Levis? Joe, do you have anything that you hate about Will Levis? Is there anything that you don't like about the Kentucky quarterback that puts mayo in his coffee?
I know it's Kentucky. I know it's injuries, but he went his last five games. Mm-hmm. He had one game over 200 passing yards. Mm-hmm. It's the production in college. I know it doesn't translate always to the NFL, but it's concerning.
Style of play. Huge, I mean, like, huge when it comes to that. Because yeah. Kentucky wasn't throwing the ball around the yard. They were a ball control offense that wanted to dominate time of possession.
Which they got crushed in all those games also, most
but
likely.
But they were also down like 21 points against Georgia and went on in a 12-minute drive in the fourth quarter. It's like, what are y'all doing? Like, yeah. What are y'all doing? Why are you down three possessions and you're going on a 12-minute drive in the fourth quarter? What are you doing?
And it's easy to understand. Like, when you look at Kentucky, and it's like, okay, they got a new OC. It's a disaster. Injuries, bad offensive line. He lost weapons at wide receiver. But it's hard to look at the history of the NFL and find a quarterback that had that lack of production over a stretch of games in their final season, going to the draft, and then had success in the NFL. I would challenge you to find one, because I just don't think they exist.
Sure, say that again?
Like, to find a quarterback that had that lack of production in college and then have success in the NFL, I just don't think those guys really exist. And I know, you know, championships and things like that, Heismans don't matter, but when your production level is that low in your last season, I can't imagine many great quarterbacks.
Josh Allen. Josh Allen's final year at Wyoming was very mediocre.
Sure.
56% completion percentage, 16 touchdowns and 6 picks.
But I also think that's a really unfair comparison to Will Levis. Because I think Josh Allen is a unicorn that was in the right system with Brian Daboll, and they fixed him, they fixed his issues. And look, he was pretty bad his first 2 years in the NFL. Josh Allen was a mediocre quarterback in the NFL, and they retooled him and they rebuilt him.
I don't think Levis was as bad as people think, though. Like, 2,500 yards this past season was a step back from like what people thought he was going to do. 19 touchdowns, 10 picks, not great. When you look at the context of that, though, you're like, okay, I can understand that a little bit. And he also did it against the SEC competition with a really bad offense, with a really bad offensive coordinator.
Was Patrick Mahomes great?
He had really good numbers.
His last year?
Yeah, I mean, he was in a Kingsbury offense. His numbers were
they were inflated because of the offense. They weren't winning like every single game and dominating.
But CJ Stroud's numbers are inflated by the offense.
Sure,
but
I'm saying
it goes both ways.
He asked if there's ever been a quarterback like that didn't have a great, you know, senior season.
But Mahomes didn't win. You know, and I think the big difference between Allen and Mahomes is that's not this. Like, I mean, maybe it is. But you're talking about Brian Daboll, who's clearly one of the best offensive coaches in the NFL, and Andy Reid, who's probably the best offensive coach in the history of the NFL.
That's to me why situation matters a lot more times than like the actual prospect. Because, look, Pat Mahomes went 10th in the NFL draft and was really, really good. If you put Pat Mahomes in Chicago, is Pat Mahomes Pat Mahomes?
I think the answer is no.
It's no. Like, the situation matters a lot. Yeah. I think a lot of times the situation matters more than the prospect.
100%.
If I'm being completely honest with you. 713-780-ESPN. Why do you hate Will Levis? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Let's get Daryl in here first. Daryl, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Daryl?
Hello. How you guys doing today?
What's up, man?
Yes, sir. I just came to talk about the Jets' philosophy. I agree with the going defensive first and then possibly getting the quarterback. But my opinion, I was hoping they would get Anthony Richardson and pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my opinion. But Will Anderson will be a safe bet at the number two than trading up to get Anthony Richardson. I really think, you know, if they could fix him and give him that time to develop, their offense could really look really good. So, yeah.
Appreciate it, Daryl. So Daryl doesn't dislike Levis. He just prefers Richardson. So he hates Will Levis because he prefers Anthony Richardson. I'm putting words in his mouth. Look, I've been a defensive guy, too, for really the whole time. Like, I like the idea of a Will Anderson. I really like the idea of a Jalen Carter until Jalen Carter was crossed off of my draft board completely on a number of occasions, three different times. So, look, if that's Casario's model, I think he's going to get crushed in the city. It's not going to come for me, though.
See, Tannenbaum just came out with his top five draftable quarterbacks. Richardson was fifth. Mm-hmm. Bryce Young was first, Stroud second, and Levis was third.
I believe that, too.
And he's got Hendon Hooker at fourth. So everybody looks at this thing differently, but I have never been one of these guys with some of these mocks where Will Levis slides to 17 or 18 and gets in a Kenny Pickett-type range. I believe that Will Levis, just measurables alone and looking at the kid, you have to have a lot of general managers that they look at him and think it's extremely enticing because the guy has a lot that could offer a football team. But again, it depends on your situation like you were talking about, especially when you're talking about it from a Texans perspective and you know it's not the NFC where, you know, you almost instantaneously have a chance to be a top five quarterback in the NFC when you're drafted there in the top five. In the AFC, you know that there's a Patrick Mahomes and you know that there's a Josh Allen and you know that there's a Justin Herbert and you know there's a Joe Burrow and all these, and the list keeps going to where just, you know, pretty good is not good enough. Because you're going to have to compete with the expectations of it's not good enough to be the old Texans and just put a division banner and a playoff win up in the rafters. You've got to go further than that and do more. And it's going to be extremely challenging with all the quarterbacks in the AFC. So that probably weighs in at least a little bit in terms of knowing the fact that that's what the landscape looks like for the next 7 years.
I'm curious why all of you hate Will Levis. 713-780-3776. 3177 says Will Levis is the new Mitch Trubisky. That's one you hear a lot. Levis gets comped to Mitch Trubisky a ton. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Andy's in the Hive. Andy, why do you hate Will Levis?
Well, I don't hate him. It's funny. Ever since the season's been over, everybody keeps saying, well, last year he had these receivers gone, he had some injuries on the line, and blah, blah, that's why he didn't have a good year.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the stats, hell, his rating's better this year than it was in 21. I mean, he threw 24 and 13 for some touchdowns in 21, and then he came back and threw 19 and 10, which is basically the same. He averaged a half yard more a pass attempt last year than he did in 21. Look, the guy hasn't put up big numbers. He's not even a 2-to-1 interception touchdown ratio. That ain't the quarterback that I think comes from a Shanahan. Shanahan got a quarterback that's pretty accurate.
Uh-huh.
Not worried about he could...
Lost you there, Andy. Appreciate the call, though. I think a lot of people were expecting Levis to have a bigger year than he did. Like, they saw Levis in 21, like, oh, Levis is about to explode. Levis is about to throw for 4,000 yards. Levis is about to be in New York as a Heisman finalist. And then for a variety of different reasons, he did not. And you have to ask yourself, is it, like, a real reason or is it an excuse? Because, look, it could go either way. Like, the injuries that he had, is that a reason or an excuse? Ask yourself that. The offensive line that he had, which was ranked 120th in all of college football, is that a reason or an excuse to why he didn't blow up? Is the skill positions that he had around him, the skill position players that he had around him, a reason that he didn't have the success that everybody expected him to have? Or is it an excuse? Those are the things you have to ask yourself when you evaluate Will Levis.
It's the most important individual position on a team-generated, team-driven sport. And you have to have a supporting cast. And the supporting cast matters. And so you can say, well, did he win the Heisman Trophy? Did he do everything that he had to do on the college level? Whether he did or he didn't doesn't matter. It matters about how his skill set and what he brings to the table translates to the next level when you're getting, you know, when everybody's paid and everybody is a grown-ass man trying to earn a check and everybody is, the physicality level goes up, the talent and the ability goes up, and can they perform on that level? Because RG3 won the Heisman, so did Tim Tebow. But you know what? That doesn't translate to being great NFL quarterbacks. Just the same way it is that you can have a whole lot of skills, but if you're in a situation like Will Levis may or may not have been, but definitely he was in a situation different than that of C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, it can alter your performance. It can alter what people think of you and also what they see of you and how they believe that's going to translate to the NFL. And I don't think it's accurate or fair. So I think you have to factor all that in. Yeah, you'd love to have a guy that blows the doors off everybody in college like Trevor Lawrence, and then he goes right to the NFL, and he does the same exact thing, only more, and you realize this dude was just born to play quarterback. End of story. But it's not that simple, and that's why it's almost apples to oranges when you take Will Levis playing at Kentucky versus C.J. Stroud playing at Ohio State and Bryce Young playing at Alabama.
713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line. Why do you, Houston, hate the idea of Will Levis being your next franchise quarterback? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. This kind of thought. Probably. Like a lot of people in Houston right now, they're hearing the name Will Levis, franchise quarterback for the Houston Texans. They're like, you know, I need a good drink. I need a good drink to kind of understand this idea. Think about this idea. I get that. I get that. But while you sit back with that good drink, it better be Gentle Ben, because you need a good drink to understand this all and to think about this all. Whether you're a vodka guy, whether you're a gin guy, whether you're a bourbon guy, it needs to be Gentle Ben, because Gentle Ben's better than anybody else. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative Percedo craft technology that makes them better in purity, aroma, and taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben, unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Ben, compare it to your brand. You're going to taste a huge difference, same difference that I did. Ever since then, I've been a Gentle Ben man. It is smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. Don't labor through your drink. Savor it. Enjoy what you're sipping on. You can find Gentle Ben Vodka, Gin, and Bourbon at Total Wine. You can find it at Specs, many of the local liquor stores as well. You can pick up your bottle on the way home today. Head to the tasting room in Alvin. Order it online at gentleben.com. Or if you're headed to see an Astros game, why don't you stop by the Gentle Ben Bar? That's right, the Gentle Ben Bar inside of Minute Maid Park, just past the Crawford boxes, right when you walk in at Union Station. A little bit of bourbon, a little bit of vodka, a little bit of gin. Make it a Gentle Ben with your Astro baseball. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Ben.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Houston, why do you hate Will Levis? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Dab King says we hate Will Levis because he can't hit the roof. See Anthony Richardson. It's funny you say that because Levis actually did hit the roof. And Levis, when he hit the roof, was criticized. Yet when Anthony Richardson hits the roof, he's praised. Why? Why? 713-780-3776. Just tell me.
Is this the Caitlin Clark discussion?
I don't know. I don't know what you mean by that.
I mean, there's people losing their mind, drawing all kinds of conclusions about that. I mean, the roof is the ceiling. If both of them hit it,
ask Mike,
why
Jordan.
Do we have a problem?
But Levis hit the ceiling. Oh, no, look at that guy. Anthony Richardson hits the ceiling. Did you see that cannon? What? What am I missing here? 713-780-3776. Ocho says, I'd actually trust Levis to overcome his criticism over Bryce Young to overcome his height deficiencies. That's a fair point. Like, I like Bryce, too. But Bryce has some concerns, his size. Levis' concerns are what? That he didn't have a great college football career, statistically? 8240, Brandon T. Says, I don't hate this at all. This is the scenario I've been wanting to happen all along. Scenario is Lance Zierlein mock draft 3.0. He has the Texans going defensive end at number 2. It's Tyree Wilson. And then trading back into the top 10, number 7, with the Raiders and selecting Will Levis. He says he doesn't love Levis as a prospect, has a second round grade on him, but he can see something that the Houston Texans would do.
He also said with the system and Bobby Slowick.
Right.
That it makes sense for them and what they're looking for out of a quarterback.
Slowick came from San Francisco, as we know, quarterbacks coach there under Shanahan. The most recent coordinator that Levis had at Kentucky was the Scagnarelli guy, who was a former position coach at San Francisco. He was awful. He was not very good at all. Part of the reason Levis didn't have a very good year. I was reading up the Bruce Feldman mock draft of like what the opposing coaches are saying about Will Levis. He said that they had an offensive coordinator that was so predictable they knew what was coming every single play. Is that a Levis thing? Or is that an offensive coordinator who has no clue what he's doing and was fired immediately after 1 year? Go look at Levis in 2021 when he had a decent offensive line, a decent skill position group in an SEC, and a solid offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, and see what he did then.
Cohen went back to Kentucky, right?
Yeah, he was the OC in 21 with Levis at Kentucky.
Yep.
The Rams hired him back. So last year he was the Rams OC in 22. And then, yes, Kentucky rehired him for next season in 2023. Why do you hate Will Levis, Houston? 713-780-3776. 3008 says, just heard he takes a lot of sacks and had a regression senior year. He did regress. He regressed a little bit. Statistically, it was somewhat similar, but they expected him to take the leap. He did not do that, and he did take a decent amount of sacks. Was that because of Levis, or is it because he had an offensive line that had no clue to block? Like, there were so many times when you had just, like, a three technique getting through the offensive line untouched somehow, some way, and hitting Levis without Levis ever seeing him. Is that Levis's fault,
no,
or is that
not
Levis trusting his right guard to put a body on a defensive tackle?
That's when I say it goes back to the personnel around you. It's an individual position on one of maybe the truest team sport that there is, in terms of you have to have help. You have to rely on your teammates. At Alabama, they rely on teammates that are almost all five stars and four stars playing both the first string and the second string. At Kentucky, do you think they have the same personnel to choose from? No, they don't. And that's something that goes to why your personnel department and your ability to analyze talent has to stop just looking at the tape in terms of if he gets hit a lot, or, you know, if the receivers aren't getting the kind of separation they need to get. They need to be able to analyze both with defenders and also just with the measurables, the athleticism and the talent. Can this guy play on the next level when conceivably you're going to have a far better team around him or more skilled players position by position? Because it's unfair to grade Will Levis on the inabilities of his teammates, but that's part of what happens.
Yeah, I think so. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, asking you why you hate Will Levis. A lot of people weighing in on this. 8894, Will Levis is widely regarded as a second-round talent. Good athlete, great arm, but will take work. A guy ready to play day one is always better than that.
Okay. People want Anthony Richardson, and he's a great athlete
right. That's
going to need work in probably 2 years.
I think the thing with...
Hold on a second. Here's the thing with this Levis thing, regarded as a second-round talent. According to who?
Right,
like, there's some
people
that do have him as a second-round talent. Lance Erline said this morning he has him regarded as a second-round talent. Okay, but Pro Football Focus has him regarded as the number four player in this draft. Mel Kiper has him regarded as the number one quarterback in this draft. So you can't say that he's widely regarded as a second-round talent when, quite frankly, he's not. He's regarded way more as a first-round talent than he is a second-round talent, and some big shots also have Will Levis ranked very, very high. I understand that Lance Erline, and a guy that I respect tremendously, has a second-round grade on him, but just because Lance has a second-round grade on him doesn't mean that he is widely thought of as a second-round talent, because it's not true. Okay, go ahead, Joe.
All right, so here's my thing with Will Levis. It's not an anti-Levis thing. I don't believe that the ceiling is high enough to take that risk. So if I'm taking a risk that's not Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, I'm taking Anthony Richardson. Because if you can fix him, then I think you can compete to win a Super Bowl with him as your quarterback. I don't know if Will Levis is ever that guy. Like, I just think the ceiling, the athleticism, the arm strength, all of that with Anthony Richardson is so high that if I'm going to take what I view as a much higher risk at the quarterback position with Levis or Richardson versus Young and Stroud, then I'm taking Richardson.
See, I
don't think Hendon Hooker belongs in this conversation. Personally, I don't understand why, like, how you can watch a Tennessee football game and think that anything that they do at that school translates to the NFL. He's 25 years old, coming off a major injury. Like, I'm... Hendon Hooker to me is a second round, late first round pick.
I don't know how you can watch
the upside of Richardson.
I don't know how you can watch a full game of Anthony Richardson and see him miss easy targets by 10 yards and be like, I want Anthony Richardson.
I know, but like, I don't think that guy's
a 2 year project. You can't guarantee he can improve what he needs to fix.
I don't think he's capable of being an NFL starter.
I get it, but like, I watch Will Levis and I look like I see a guy that looks like he throws 100 miles an hour on a flat route.
He has plenty of touch on plays. You haven't seen enough of Will Levis. You've seen a couple of highlights where they show like a bad throw. I could do that with Bryce Young as well.
Of course you can, but like, I've watched plenty of Levis, not as much as you, but like, I think when I watch him, I see a guy that he can't make the simple stuff, and like, that's concerning. I think you see the big stuff, but like, with the in routes, the flat stuff, like out to the sidelines.
Let me pull
like,
up my photo album here and show you all
Joe,
of these things.
Here's the thing:
I don't love
because I keep talking about the fact that all these top four, even five guys with Hooker, you have shortcomings, you have question marks, things that people think are problematic. But if you talk about the fact that you're not talking about a guy that can't throw the long ball, like there's questions about Bryce Young's long ball. You're not talking about guys that have to learn how to throw the long ball, and that's very difficult, especially if you can't develop arm strength. It's impossible sometimes to get more zip on the ball to throw the deep ball. But you can adapt to be able to throw the screen pass, the wheel route, and develop more touch on a ball. But Richardson definitely is a two-year project in my mind. I don't know how to what degree people think Levis has so much work to do that it's going to take a year or two. I haven't heard those comparisons like I have with Richardson. We know Hooker coming off injury is probably going to have some setbacks early on before you can expect to see what he can do. But he is 25. And if you watch what Tennessee did, they did a whole lot of throw it up and go get it. They didn't, and they were constantly trying to stretch the field, but you didn't see him picking apart defenses either and being able to make pinpoint throws and do the kind of things from the intangible perspective of running the team. He had a lot of talent. He had a lot of big, he had, you know, go get them receivers, and he'd throw it up a lot. I just think that the one guy that is a question mark for me is Richardson because I think he's 2 years away. I don't feel that way about Will Levis. But I don't know how the differences in talent between Ohio State, Alabama, and Kentucky, and like Jeremy says, which is a very valid point, every time you change a coordinator or a coaching staff, it's a setback for your quarterback.
100%. And that's a huge risk with just the Texans drafting a quarterback in general, because if you have if you have success, that offensive coordinator is going to leave, but that also means that you've had great success, right?
Like if
Bobby Slowick is a head coach in 2 years, it's because quarterback you drafted is excelling at a very high margin. Mm-hmm. And it's up to D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick to train and coach Jerrod Johnson to be the next offensive coordinator. So I guess a trickle-down effect of where if he leaves, it's actually a positive, but it's likely going to happen. Like, you hope it's going to happen. You hope that it's not happening because you're firing an offensive coordinator after two seasons. It's just, to me, I just view Levis as a risk. And if I'm going to take
I think
Levis is the bigger risk of, instead of taking Stroud or Young at two. So if I'm going to take what I view as a bigger risk, then I'm just going to go all the way in, and I'm going to take the guy that looks like he could be Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. And if you help improve the accuracy with the athleticism, the ceiling with Richardson, and like, I know it's a big if, but it, to me, if you're going to take that level of risk, go all the way in.
But here's where you're like kind of alleviating the risk. And this is not really a Richardson Levis conversation. It's more a quarterback at number two conversation, because I think with like the Lance Mock 3.0 and what Peter King said in his little mailbag the other day, where the Texans, like, he called Nick Caserio conservative. Actually, let's talk about this on the other side. Like, the Nick Caserio conservative point of view, the whole like taking a risk at quarterback point of view, I think it is kind of a conservative play for Nick Caserio. Explain that on the other side, and asking you the question, Houston, why do you hate Will Levis? I feel like Houston hates Will Levis. Why? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, it's Masters Week. And if you want to be a part of all the action, feel like you're there. Boy, if you haven't ever been there, it's worth going to. But if you can't get to the Masters, but you want to make the Masters more interesting with the first major of the year in the golf season, you need to get on mybookie.ag, because there's nothing like cheering on your favorite golfers in a major tournament with a wager at mybookie.ag. Even if you're not a big golf fan, you can put a little wager on an individual player. Maybe it's Scottie Scheffler or Jordan Spieth or Rory McIlroy, or maybe you're feeling really good and you think Tiger is going to find that fountain of youth. He knows that course like the back of his hand, and he is going to do some things that not a lot of people are expecting. Well, get into mybookie.ag right now, because when you make your first deposit and use the promo code BET975, you get an exclusive deposit bonus up to $1,000. Put $500 in, get $250 extra bucks, more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances to win. They love taking care of their customers. You should be the next one in line, so you can be a customer that gets and reaps the benefits that are brought to you and provided by mybookie.ag. Be the master of your destiny this week and enjoy golf on a whole new level. And if golf isn't in your thing, how about NHL hockey? How about NBA basketball? Now that baseball's in full swing and you want to bet on baseball, you can do that too. XFL, UFC, soccer, you name it, they've got it, and prop bets galore. They can even do all kinds of casino gambling like blackjack. If you're interested, they've got a way you can play. That's what I'm telling you. You get a welcome bonus on your initial deposit, up to $1,000, by using the promo code BET975, but you get the one place out there that takes care of you and tries to do things for you every step of the way. As I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag. Use the promo code BET975.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Adam on Twitter says, Joe Jorge wants to take the guy who can't throw the dang ball. Yeah, you must like shooting guards who shoot about 15% right?
I'm teamed Young and Stroud. I'm anti this mock draft in every way. Frankly, I wouldn't take a quarterback if you're not going to take one at two.
Okay, what does that scenario look like?
Wait till next year.
You're just going all defense, 2-12?
Just be miserable with Davis Mills.
Case Keenum, you mean.
Did you see the numbers? Right. The new numbers are out, and the trend is that Jackson Smith and Jigba is the leading candidate to be at number 12.
Do you know something that I learned yesterday? I believe that, by the way. But you know something that I learned yesterday?
You're talking about his brother?
Yeah. He's got a brother that plays Major League Baseball.
Really?
Yeah, his older brother.
He debuted for the Pirates last year. He got hurt like right away, so JSN was at the game last night when his brother
hit the game?
Yeah, when he hit his first home run in the big leagues.
I was looking at box scores, and I saw Smith and Jigba. I was like, he's got to be related.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but he's got to be related.
Yeah. Trying to say that's not just a common everyday name?
No.
Okay, well.
I don't think. At least the Njigba part, Smith usually is, but not Smith hyphen Njigba.
Smith is pretty common.
Right. So I Wikipedia it really quick. I was like, I'll be darned. He's got an older brother that plays Major League Baseball. So made me feel a little bit better about Jackson Smith and Jigba. No, it didn't. I'm just kidding. But we're asking you the question. Why do you hate Will Levis? 713-780-3776. The Peter King thing, and here was the Nick Caserio part of this conversation. Peter King in his mailbag was talking about how there is like 10% of thought that he has and talking to some executives around the league that Nick Caserio might throw a curveball at number two. That if the quarterback they don't like at number two is already off the board, if Carolina drafted them, that they would go BPA. They would go best player available. Now, he says Will Anderson. Will Anderson would be the pick there at two, and then they would trade back up for a franchise quarterback. I heard the guys in the wheelhouse yesterday talking about this because it mentions he calls Nick Caserio conservative. He says that Nick Caserio is conservative, and this is why he would draft Will Anderson at two and then trade up for that franchise quarterback later in the first round. And the wheelhouse guys were talking about the trading up being like, that's not conservative. That's very aggressive to trade into the top 10 and take a franchise quarterback who has more risk than Stroud and Young, we think. And that's true. That is aggressive. There's nothing conservative about that. But they didn't look at the number two pick. Like, the number two pick is the one that has the most draft capital. That's the one that has the most value. So at number two, whoever's off the board, let's say if it's Bryce Young. Like, there's a lot of concern that Bryce Young's not going to be big enough to play quarterback in the NFL. There's a lot of concern that C.J. Stroud was a product of the system in college football, and the reason he had such great success was because of said system. So if you had the number two pick, and you have these questions about Stroud, and you have these questions about Bryce Young, and you think Will Anderson's the number one player on your draft board, I think it is conservative to draft the defensive player at number two.
Oh, look, it's always going to be conservative and ruffle some feathers if you keep it close to the vest and stick to your board. Because your board says that you get a quarterback in this case, you get the most publicized and top tier of top tier amongst all of the mock drafts and experts. And it takes a lot, and I've seen it from a basketball perspective. It takes a lot to stick to your research. And no matter what, be hell-bent on, I don't care what everybody else says. I don't care what everybody else thinks they see in certain players. I trust the people on our staff that have done the work, scouted the games, talked to the player, and know that this is the guy for us. Because Will Anderson isn't the sexiest pick because he's not a quarterback. Mm-hmm. But in another draft, say Will Anderson was drafted last year. Will Anderson would be the sexiest pick in this draft, I think, because of the fact that you're talking about three quarterbacks that weren't worthy of a top 15 pick in this draft.
Yeah.
And so when you look at everybody else, you're like, oh, my God, people will be losing their mind over Will Anderson. But he's basically an afterthought because of all of the controversy and discussion amongst the most important position in the draft, quarterback.
Yeah, 8894 says, y'all just like Levis because the brothers are getting all the hype facts. I love Bryce Young, so that's a stupid text.
Yeah, and I've been the guy that's been pushing Bryce Young since day one.
You're more Bryce than I am.
Yeah, so
you're Bryce ahead of Levis.
Skip that take.
I think it's kind of a tie, honestly. 4683, using A.J. Hoffman's old metric, is Levis handsome enough to be a winning quarterback in the NFL?
Yes.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think if that's what the metric you want to go on, then the answer is yes.
I think all four of the first-round quarterbacks are handsome enough to be a quarterback in the NFL, though.
I also think that's a fair
metric. Tom Brady has proven that with plastic surgery, you can always be handsome.
Has there ever been an ugly quarterback?
That won a championship?
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew?
Didn't win a championship.
It wasn't good.
Oh.
Wasn't good.
Nick Foles?
Some people you can see find Nick Foles attractive. Plus, they have tons of money. Like, they all make NFL money. You become instantly way more attractive the moment you have that much money.
Yeah, I think a lot more like Tom Brady than they let on with the plastic surgery.
You think Brady's had a little bit of work done?
Oh, there's no question.
Dude,
really?
What planet are you on?
Yeah, what did you miss when he missed that time in
his cheeks, like,
training
almost touch his nose.
Man, I just look at different things than you guys do.
Oh my God, there were so many people, especially a lot of the female journalists that were calling him out going, how much work did he have during that break on his chin and his cheeks and his jawline?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Man, I've never really viewed
Brady. Now you got the ugly quarterback discussion. Who's the ugliest quarterback ever to win?
I like the
Peyton
Twitch.
Manning's pretty ugly. He's got a big dome and a long neck.
Not wrong.
B. Hannon on Twitch said Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson. Those are two great options.
Good options.
Both won because of their defense, though. Like if you're just a quarterback who's a
manager, you got to be the reason.
I'm wondering if we could throw some more caveats onto this.
Okay.
Like, who is the quarterback on a Super Bowl winning team that was like their best player or one of their best players that's just hideous?
John Elway.
I think a lot of people can find Elway handsome. Like, he was the All-American, played two sports, had the blonde hair. Like, I don't...
Other people have made derogatory comments about his face, so I just threw it out.
They called
there.
Him a horse?
Yeah.
They called John Elway a horse? Yeah. Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers. People, like, females in Green Bay, my sister included, absolutely adore Aaron Rodgers. I don't get it.
I could see... I've heard that about Rodgers.
Plus, it looks like he got out of a cave yesterday now.
Well, he did.
I mean, yeah, well, that wasn't a real cave, but yeah, with the hair all over it, disheveled and all the...
Real cave, man-made cave. What's the difference?
It's a man-made cave. 6318 saying Levis is the Zach Wilson of this draft. Why do you hate Levis, Houston? 713-780-3776. A lot of people said he's Mitch Trubisky. See, people say he's Wilson, he's Trubisky, he's Bortles. Well, why can't he be Justin Herbert? Why can't he be Josh Allen? Like, he's one of the two. He's going to be really
Anthony
bad
Richardson,
or really good.
I think Richardson is the better comparison for Trubisky. In terms of
Trubisky was pretty accurate in college.
No, but though. I think it's not about accuracy in playing style. It's about why the failure before the senior year and why the lack of playing time.
Anthony Richardson wasn't good his last year in college.
No, but like he wasn't the starting quarterback his junior year, just like Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky lost the job to some guy who was starting for the XFL 2.0.
Yeah.
He's not even in the XFL now. And Anthony Richardson was not the main quarterback his last year or the year before this. And then this year, so we started 13 games. Like, if you're an elite quarterback, why are you not playing more? The only exception to that rule is Joe Burrow.
You can grow, though.
Like, I know, but like
there's
most
so many,
of these guys.
Tom Brady. I mean, that's now – Tom Brady's the exception to every rule. Like, I understand that.
It's also, like, pretty bad by coaching by Carr to go Drew Henson over Tom Brady.
A lot of it, though, is like, okay,
we don't know
what
he was. What
is the system? Yeah. And then plus, like, the Brady, let's eliminate the Brady from the conversation in a moment. Like, it's tough for a freshman quarterback who turns out to be a first-round quarterback to beat out a junior who's like a fourth- or fifth-round quarterback. Like, they're the heir apparent. They are already very good. They're nowhere near developed enough to be what they're eventually going to be. I don't like that logic.
But, like, I'm not gonna hold it against Arch Manning in 3 years if he doesn't beat out Quinn Ewers now. But it's – if Arch Manning is supposed to be this great prospect and there was a quarterback in front of him, why are you losing out to this guy when you're a junior and then you're only starting 13 games? But then you have the other problems. Then you have the accuracy issues. And it's like that to me is when you tell more of the story. Like, I'm not a Richardson guy. Now I feel like I've become a Richardson guy today. I'm not. I'm just saying.
Well, how many people weren't a Richardson guy until the highlight in the Utah game? The avoiding
the 2-point conversion.
Yeah, the 2-point conversion, avoiding the scramble and doing all the things that showed his athleticism. And all of a sudden, people instantaneously had Anthony Richardson on their radar. Mm-hmm. And he suddenly, the next day almost, became a first-round prospect in the NFL draft.
Don't watch the Kentucky game
a
week or two
later.
No,
and after that, it's crazy how quickly one positive play can take you to a level. And how many negative plays can keep you there?
Hello, Jadeveon Clowney.
It wasn't a great quarterback play either. Like, it was a great athletic feat. Like, to break a tackle, spin away from it, great athletic football.
But to my point.
But what a great quarterback play.
Once you make a play that's a SportsCenter play, it elevates you to almost an invincibility to where it takes, like, so much bad play for people to consider taking you off. Because after that, to your point, Anthony Richardson didn't do very much. And he wasn't very impressive, but everybody, because of that play, still wasn't willing to take him off that list of, wow, first-round talent right there. That's a guy that could be a high pick.
Yeah.
And they're not watching all the rest of the game.
I mean, I know this is an unpopular opinion amongst a lot of fans, but to me, the reason why your question of why do people hate Will Levis is because he's not on TV.
Isn't he on TV more than Anthony Richardson?
Well, they're both on TV about the same, aren't
they? I would
bet
you Florida was on television more than Kentucky this year. And also...
This belongs on Bad Take Boulevard. You just made the list of Bad Take Boulevard. SEC football's not on TV.
Who's going out of their way to watch Kentucky versus like Vanderbilt? Besides you.
Well, but Kentucky and Florida are both playing SEC schedules, so their games are on almost all the time.
Kentucky, Florida, the Gators are playing Georgia, they're playing Alabama.
They're playing a lot of teams, too, but those games are on.
Kentucky was nationally ranked for the last two seasons for a better part of both years.
That's true. They were ranked
like they were
on
playing
this year.
Some pretty marquee games.
But hey,
I remember college football season. I remember talking the week of Kentucky-Florida how excited I was to watch the quarterback prospects of Will Levis and Anthony Richardson playing this
week. I remember that.
I remember vividly
but I also
having
know
that conversation.
As a Badger fan, I can find the Badger game on TV every single weekend, whether they suck or they're ranked.
How many people in the city of Houston are going to find a Kentucky football game versus Alabama?
But the SEC contract puts them on national TV a lot more than the Big Ten network.
I just think it's a big difference between that and Ohio State and Alabama, and that's part of the reason why people don't like Levis.
Would it surprise you if I told you that Will Levis had a better completion percentage than Bryce Young did?
No.
Okay, well, you shouldn't be surprised because it's a fact.
Because, as Lance Erline said, he threw like 60% of his passes behind the line of scrimmage.
All right. We're going to have to agree to disagree.
We're going to fight forever.
Right, you're just going to keep
it.
Analytics backing up the points and the opinion.
Honestly, I don't want the Texans to draft Will Levis because of how strong of an opinion I've had about Will Levis. I'll be completely honest with you. Just take Bryce Young, be safe, go about it. Like, I really want that to happen.
You're going
to
get ran off the radio.
I know. I just draft Bryce and let's forget this whole thing. All right, cash it or trash it? What are the overreactions? What are the hot takes that we have? What are the hot takes and overreactions that you have? We'll get some interaction on Cash It or Trash It. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Cash It or Trash It with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.